Welcome into another edition of the Savvy Citizen Podcast. I'm Adam Gobb. Today on the show, Corporal Gibson from the Gaston County Sheriff's Office is in to talk about some of the programs that they have going on inside the Gaston County Jail. That includes the GED program, which is a partnership with Gaston College, some different pregnancy and parenting programs, as well as some different things that maybe you didn't know about. Celebrate Women's History Month with a special presentation at the Main Library on Saturday, March 16th. The library's Supervisor of Local History and Genealogy, Jane Kaler, will be making a special presentation about the women's suffrage movement in Gaston County in the early 1900s. The presentation will also highlight women leaders that fought for equal pay and racial equality. The event begins at 11 a.m. in the Carol K. Reinhart Auditorium and is free. Welcome back to another edition of the Savvy Citizen Podcast. I'm Adam Gobb. Today on the show, we're talking with Corporal Gibson, who is with the Gaston County Sheriff's Office, works in the detention center, and she is over their education programs. And we're talking to her specifically today about kind of some of the work that they do with their inmates on making sure that when folks get out of jail, they're ready to kind of reenter society and be kind of a better version of themselves, I guess. So, Corporal, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate that.
How long have you worked at the sheriff's office for?
I have been there almost 17 years. I started in 2007. I was on night shift for several years until I got this position in 2011.
So you've been doing the education work for over a decade now.
Yes, I have, and I really enjoy it.
What drew you to that position?
Well, to begin with, I just wanted to get off a night shift, to be honest with you.
That's a really good reason. There are a few better reasons than that, quite honestly.
There are. But at that point in time, that was what I wanted to do. And I'm really glad I made that decision.
So what's involved in the education program? Because when you're working with jail inmates, you're working with folks that aren't in terribly long compared to a prison, right?
Correct. Sometimes they're just little short-term programs once a month, and then some others like the GED program long-term, and that's inmates who may be there for quite some time.
Okay. What is the primary focus of the education program? Is there one overarching goal, or is there kind of a wide variety of goals that kind of you try to meet the inmates where they are based on their needs?
As far as the classes go, the GED, obviously, if they do not have a high school diploma, the ultimate goal is to get the GED.
Right.
If it's our program with Hope United, who do the domestic violence awareness program, they are just trying to give them information to help them when they get out of the facility, if they're in that sort of situation, and enlighten them, basically.
Well, and the idea is basically like, you know, this is rehabilitation. Like, nobody is irredeemable.
Yes, that's absolutely correct. And to reduce the recidivism rate.
Right. The domestic violence program, that's interesting. And it's something that, like, totally makes sense, but it wasn't something that would have been top of mind for me. But how does that work in terms of trying to help people from becoming repeat domestic violence offenders?
Well, as of right now, the goal on that one is people who are being abused mostly.
Okay.
And for them to be able to help them get a home, to get a phone, to get clothes, to get out of that situation. The shelter assist underneath the umbrella of Hope United,
right,
as well as the Lighthouse. Mm-hmm. And the Lighthouse teaches a class with them, which is a child abuse awareness program.
Okay.
And they focus on that. And if they were in that situation, they can realize it. And then I have a lady named Hannah Hopper, and she comes in mm-hmm. and teaches the DV portion where they are doing human trafficking.
Okay.
And some people are in that situation and have no clue, have no clue at all, because human trafficking is so wide variety now of what could possibly fall under that category.
Yeah, it's weird. We're talking about this because we're actually recording this on January 11th, which is Human Trafficking Awareness Day.
Correct. It sure is. Wear blue today.
Yep. So one of the reasons that I wanted to talk to you and do this episode is I saw that the sheriff's office, in kind of the latter part of 2023 had posted that they had their first inmate to get their GED since COVID, I think, right?
Absolutely. We had one male, and then we actually are having a graduation at the end of this month for three females.
That's terrific.
So we had four in total that completed their GED. And now it took well over a year for them to do this because the GED through Gaston College, it's very difficult. I would say that it's more difficult to get your GED than it is your high school diploma.
Mm.
The tests are very tedious and time-consuming, and they have to study for a very long time. And in this type of environment, I think that that's an excellent feat that they can overcome everything and still be able to focus on that.
Well, and depending upon the ages of some of the folks involved, I mean, it may be several years since they've been in a school environment, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. They come in of all ages, and it's a lot more difficult for those who are older because they're not used to using computers and mm-hmm. things of that nature.
So what is your role in kind of facilitating the GED program? Are you actually helping kind of working with the inmates and in sort of tutoring them, or are you more just kind of setting up the programs and then they've got other folks that do that?
So Gaston College sends in their own instructors.
Okay.
I more or less coordinate the classes, make sure that the inmates are there, that they're behaving. We do rounds on them. Me and my coworker, Officer Smart, we both work together in order to try to make sure that everything is running smoothly throughout the day.
Seeing the post about the first male to get his GED since COVID, what were some of the difficulties during COVID? I mean, did you have to shut down some of the programs entirely?
Yes, we had nothing going on
those
several years. So I was mostly just assisting in the jail facility during that time.
So it's got to feel good to be able to kind of, I hate to say, get back to normal, but do what you were initially doing kind of in this program, right?
Yes, absolutely. It was, this job, this role that I have, it makes me feel like I'm making a difference, especially with those who are receiving their GED, and hopefully they can go on to better themselves.
Well, you've got to think that, if they're dedicated to doing the studying and to working towards that and eventually earning that GED, that, that helps them for when they are able to get out of being incarcerated to really have that kind of tool in their toolbox to then be able to go and get a job, to go be able to be a productive member of society again.
Absolutely. And then there are some who leave our facility and end up having to go to DOC, and that puts them ahead of the game. Mm. Sometimes it helps them get time off of their sentence, and it also lets them start into college classes when they get there.
Oh, wow. So how did the program with Gaston College get set up? Is that something that was set up when you were in this role, or is that something that's existed for even beyond that?
It was prior to me being
okay.
there, and it was still successful then.
Mm-hmm.
However, I do believe now it is even more successful, that we have excellent instructors. We have excellent people at Gaston College who make sure that we have those instructors and the tools that we need, and basically make sure that they set them up for success.
Is there any one thing that stands out in your time in this role that you look back on as kind of this is one of my proudest moments? This is something that that makes it all worth it, sort of thing?
There was one gentleman who got his GED and he got out, and then he went to Gaston College and he got his electrical degree.
Oh, wow.
And he, as far as I know, is still doing very, very well. I try to keep in contact with him every now and then just to see how he's doing. And as far as I know, he has not been back to our facility. So, yeah, it's nice to see when you do make a difference.
Absolutely. I know that you talked before we got started that you had some different facts and figures. I mean, was there anything that you wanted to touch on in terms of any of the numbers that I didn't ask about?
Throughout the years of 2012 through 2023, we have had 14 women graduate and 46 men graduate.
Oh, wow.
Yes. So that is amazing, especially when there was a gap there because
right.
of COVID. We may have had several that started in our facility on their GED and then got out and may have finished. I just don't have those numbers.
Right, because it's probably harder to track that.
Yes, so some of them may have gotten out, went to Gaston College and finished because it's offered to them for free. That is one of the most excellent parts of this program, is that if they start in our facility, they are a Gaston College student. It does not say Gaston County inmate. It says Gaston College on it. Hmm. And for them, I think that that gives them a little more self-worth too.
Yeah.
And they can continue on for free. All they got to do is go. And then we also set them up with CRC program through Gaston College as well. It's okay. called a career readiness certificate. So while they're in the GD program, after they've been in there a while, they can start the CRC program, and that can help them with employment. And a lot of employers look at that. It's like silver, gold, platinum levels on it. And they look at some of them, it require it now, actually, like the Dole plant and things like that. As far as I know, I believe that they look at those things.
Sure.
And it helps them to maybe even get a better pay raise. As far as the CRC goes, though, they can also continue with that when they get out, too. They can set them up with that. They can set them up with a program that is called TRIO. And they can also help them when they get out. And that's through Gaston College as well. They help them with finding those jobs.
Oh, that's terrific.
Yes.
So in talking to some of the inmates that you work with, I mean, you talked about like the whole thing of like kind of developing that sense of self-worth. I mean, what are some of the other comments and feedback that you've gotten from some of the inmates that have gone through the program?
Some of them believe they never could have done it. Mm. They feel like they were in a position that if they were on the outside, they would have continued doing what they were doing and never would have finished it, never would have done it, never would have put forth the time and effort to basically get that GED and to better themselves. They feel so much better about themselves. Their families are happy for them.
Oh, absolutely.
They're excited. They feel like they have accomplished something in life, and they can go back and actually tell their kids. The gentleman that just graduated, he told his son and his daughter, and they were like, "Dad, we're so proud of you." Mm-hmm. You know, they saw the photos online, and it just made him feel like, hey, I've accomplished something with my life, and I'm going to continue to do better.
Well, I mean, this has got to be one of the great parts about working in the detention system is being able to be a part of programs that are helping put people on the track for success once they get out.
Yes, it is. And that is why I do this, because it makes me feel like I not only see the bad side of things, but I can see the good too, and the good in some people. I mean, a lot of times they do come into the facility and they may be, you know, high or you know, impaired and things like that.
Sure.
But once they get that out of their system and they're thinking straight, they're just like me and you.
Yeah.
You know, we're all just one mistake away.
Mm.
You know, we could have been there too at some point in time in our lives. I can think back of times, you know, where I've made mistakes.
Absolutely.
But as far as that goes, they are trying, you know, for the most part. A lot of them sign up for the programs themselves. They fill out request forms and they want to be there. It's not there. None of them are forced to be in any of these classes.
Right.
They sign up for them and they request it. And so I go from there as long as they qualify.
Well, it sounds like it's a great partnership having Gaston College already here in the community and then being able to work with them. Like, it's just, you know, what better way to utilize resources to help better folks?
Absolutely. And we have multiple other agencies that we work with other programs that I have. I have 12 different agencies, and I have 14, I believe, programs that they offer for males and females in our facility.
Okay.
I work with Gaston College, Hope United, ACPP, which is the Alternative Communities Penalties Program, through Doug Lance.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I have the Comprehensive Opioid Abuse Program, which is also with Doug Lance and the Olive Branch Ministry.
Okay.
The Lighthouse, which is under Hope United. The Gaston County Department of Health and Human Services, they have multiple classes that come into the facility and help teach things and also test for things.
Okay.
Crisis Pregnancy Ministry, they teach a parenting class. the Gaston County Library, they come in and do a Send Home Stories program where the parent can read a book to their child, and that book, the voice recording, is sent home to the child with that book. Now, they don't read the whole book if it's a long book.
Sure.
But if it's just a little short story, you know, to a younger child, they let them read the whole book. They send the voice recording and the book and some, you know, little knickknacks and bookmarks and things home to the child.
Oh, that's terrific. I didn't know they did that.
Yes. It's something that we started for the females first for like mothers, but then we had a lot of fathers that wanted to do it as well. So we started offering it to them too. And it seems to make a difference if they can hear their parents' voice and they can keep it forever.
Yeah.
And, you know, because it's on like a QR code.
Okay.
So all they got to do is scan it.
Well, and you talk about like, you know, these motivating factors for folks, like how big is that to be able to like keep that connection with family as strong as possible? Because it's like, you know, looking towards the light at the end of the tunnel, so to speak.
Absolutely. It makes a difference. It gives them hope.
Mm-hmm.
So, we also have, AA volunteers that come in, they come in twice a week for the males and the females. We have, like I said, the Gaston County Department of Health and Human Services, they provide multiple classes. They come in and teach a pregnancy prevention class, just an educational portion. They come in and do our Making Proud Choices program, which is for the teenagers, the 18 and 19 year olds.
Okay.
We don't house 16 and 17 year olds anymore, but when we did, those were also included in this program. It's just basically to help them make better decisions in life so they don't come back to our facility.
Right.
The Lighthouse provides the child abuse awareness class, and then Hope United does the domestic violence and the sexual assault and the human trafficking, the comprehensive opioid abuse treatment, the co-op. They come in and teach about Narcan and harm reduction and things of that nature to try to help them if they are in that situation and maybe hopefully stop.
Well, and you probably know better than anybody how big of a problem opioid addiction has become over the last 10, 15 years. I mean, it's just been incredible.
It's been terrible. Yeah. We, unfortunately have experienced that a lot.
Yeah.
As far as carrying Narcan on us and things of that nature. We also, coordinate with gyms, and they have a community Narcan program.
Oh, yeah.
Where they send us Narcan and we keep it in booking. And the inmates who are an opioid user and would like a Narcan when they are released from our facility, we place it into their property for them to be able to receive when they get out in order to save a life.
Yeah.
And that's the ultimate goal of that, is to save a life, and hopefully they see the harm that it's doing to them, and eventually maybe they'll stop.
Well, and it's, you know, there's so many different, you know, strategies that are involved, but it's like, you know, you don't want people just dying on the streets. I mean, that's the last thing that anybody wants.
No, not at all. And that's the realization of it.
Yep.
And then the program, this Alternative Communities Penalties Program with Doug Lance, he has three instructors that come in and teach, one female instructor and then two male instructors that come in the evenings. And they'll teach drug abuse awareness, and they'll have basically kind of like one-on-one sessions with a group of 12, and they tell their stories, and he gives them his story. One of my instructors, he has been clean for 30 years, and he's been there, done that, been in prison, and is clean and sober, doing excellent. And you can't really teach these folks if you haven't been there and done that.
Right.
And he is just living proof that you can change, that you can get out of this life, and that you can make a difference in your own life and better yourself.
Well, I got to imagine that there's no more powerful testimony than somebody that's actually been there and walked in their shoes and then be able to say, like, you can do this. Like, it's not just a pie in the sky sort of thing. Like, oh, you know, we're telling you can do it, but it's not reality. It's like, no, you literally can.
Yeah. Yeah. You can. And he can show you the way, but you have got to take that first step for yourself. Yeah. And, you know, he said to himself all the time that he was very hard headed and that it took him a long time for him to see that way too. Mm. And the federal probation office also comes in and does a program where they're talking to the federal inmates and they're getting them prepared for when they do have to go to federal prison.
Okay.
So they do a session. We do that once every couple of months because we do have federal inmates, but they're not as many as most places. So they're not coming in as quite as often.
Gotcha.
So we don't need to do it. Most of these programs are once a month,
okay.
Except for like the GED and the drug classes. They are weekly.
It's amazing just hearing you talk about all the different programs, all the different, you know, whether it's government resources and nonprofits or private sector folks that are volunteering, just there's a lot of opportunities available.
There is. And all they got to do is take advantage of it while they're there. I mean, especially the GED. If you do not have your GED or a high school diploma, I encourage everyone to sign up for it. As long as you meet the qualifications of behavior-wise, you qualify, you know? And it's something that will help you for the rest of your life.
Absolutely. Well, and that's you see the whole kind of discussion, you know, about the check the box when people are coming out and if they've got a felony and how much harder it makes them, makes it for them to get a job. But I imagine like it's 10 times harder if you don't have a GED. I mean, it's like if you have that strike against you and you've, you know, you don't have the educational tools that you need, like, boy, I mean, you're really kind of walking uphill.
Absolutely. And if you have that and then you have your CRC as well, that may put you above several people in that employment list.
No, that's terrific. Anything else about kind of the different programs that you're involved with or anything that I didn't ask about that you wanted to touch on?
Well, they all seem to make quite a difference. And we are very lucky to be able to work with all these different agencies. And they are excellent. We are very grateful at the sheriff's office to be able to have all these multitude of agencies and multitude of volunteers. I mean, I have over 50 instructors and volunteers that come in to the facility that some of them, like I said, the volunteers, they are not getting paid.
Right.
So the ones through the agencies are, but as far as the jail ministry, you know, they come in as well. They don't get paid. The AA volunteers, they don't get paid. They do this because they want to. They want to make a difference. They want to show these people, hey, look, you can do this. Also, I would also like to say that the guys and girls that work in the jail facility do not get enough credit for what they have to deal with on a daily basis.
Oh, absolutely.
They work so hard, and I know like everywhere else it's short-staffed, but on a daily basis they're short-staffed all the time. So I would definitely like to add that.
Oh yeah. Well, and you talk about a job that can be a lot of times very kind of behind the scenes. Like a lot of times, you know, when you see people in a deputy car driving by or in a sheriff's or a police vehicle driving by, like, it's like, oh, hey, thank you so much for what you do. But it's like the folks that are inside the jail, they may not ever interact with people out on the streets on a regular basis. And so it's like almost kind of out of sight, out of mind.
Absolutely. Yeah, they work really hard and, you know, they don't get enough credit for what they do. And I appreciate them because they help me out a lot, too. All the guys and girls there, they are fantastic. And I couldn't be more proud to work with them.
Absolutely. Well, Corporal Gibson, thank you so much for coming in, for joining us on the show today. Just wish you continued success in the program and in helping people kind of be ready to move back out into not real life, but life not behind bars. And, you know, with a good, you know, number of tools in their tool set to be successful in life.
Absolutely. And I really would like to thank Sheriff Hawkins, too, for allowing me to have this opportunity to continue in this role. It really makes me feel good to be able to make a difference.
Good deal.
And thank you for having me today.
You're very welcome. Thank you. The 4th annual Gaston Max is right around the corner. Come to downtown Gastonia on Saturday, March 23rd to enjoy live music performances, games for kids, interactive art experiences, and much more. Furia Tropical returns from 2023 to cap off a day full of musical performances, including Greensboro's Colin Cutler, Nashville recording artist Stacey Antonell, and Gaston County's very own big band group, the Stardusters. Parking and admission is completely free. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Savvy Citizen Podcast. It's produced by the Gaston County Communications Office with hosts Janet Schaefer, D'Andrea Bradley, Elizabeth McGee, and Adam Gobb. Joshua Braswell serves as executive producer, and Gavin Stewart serves as field reporter and producer. Please like us and share reviews on Apple, Spotify, Google Play, and anywhere you get your podcasts. Next week on the show, Gaston College athletic director and head baseball coach Sean Doty stops by to talk to us a little bit about what it's like building an athletic program from scratch.